Our gospel reading tonight is, as is our usual practice on Christmas Eve, the Christmas story as told by Luke, the second chapter beginning in the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying of which had been told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them, and so has been told unto you. Christmas Eve is a wonderful time to think about names because I see people sometimes that I've not seen for a year or more, and it's always a challenge to remember if you're going to put a name to a face. Tim Chesser is my name. I often greet people that way after church, and there is an expectation following that, is there not? If I've told you who I am, you're going to tell me who you are. Some of you who are a generation or more as old as I am will remember the old Saturday Night Live line where it goes, "I'm Chevy Chase and you're not." I remember that well, but I don't remember too much else about Saturday Night Live. Tomorrow morning, and for some of you, even tonight, there will be packages passed out. And sometimes you have the youngest and sometimes not so much. But you always go to the tree and you look for a name because a name is going to be attached to your package. In Isaiah, the people of God are longing for deliverance. They've understood what it means to be a people in exile. And the prophet Isaiah comes to them and promises a child. Has there ever been a child whose name, if he's named according to the way Isaiah thought it would be, that carried higher expectation? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All these names represent the best qualities of Israel's heroes, and I include among Israel's heroes God Himself, for He was the one who would deliver, and even though they did not understand this, at the time of Isaiah, when Jesus came, He would take all of these names for His own, and all of them He would live up to. If you want to find out who the heroes are today, ask your children who they identify as heroes. Will you find that there are more quarterbacks than presidents? Will you find that there are more Harry Potters than dads? Will you find that there are more Santas than Jesus? It's a good, useful exercise for you sometimes to simply ask about those names that stick out that are important to them. Sometimes parents struggle with naming a child, and sometimes not. Sometimes they decide years before a child comes along what they're going to name the child, what their hopes and expectations are. But in other families, they might struggle. It may be because of a family tradition that there's one name that has to be passed down from one generation to the next. It's hard for me to think of that without looking out and seeing Calvin. I know his is the name that has come down through the family line. All kind of Janes over there on that side of the family. And others, there'll be some expectation there. And then there are also those difficult decisions that are made naming-wise. Do you go with a contemporary name? Do you go with one that is unique? And when you do that, you have to recognize that that child's going to have to deal with the government their whole life, and the government does not like unique. But in spite of that, people will still pick unique names like for their children, and some celebrity names that we hear about, we just kind of scratch our heads and go, what might they be thinking? You should always remember that teachers prefer traditional spelling and traditional pronunciation. Can you imagine that first week of class where you're looking at all those names and trying to figure out how you're going to pronounce all those things and hope you get it right? Trust me, as a pastor, I know what it's like to get a name wrong, Will. It just happens to people sometimes. Don't read too much into that. But sometimes naming expresses hope. And sometimes the names that we choose not only for our children, but the names we know others by and the names we allow ourselves to be named, known by, express something of hope, something of our relationship, and something of who we are. I have a friend who is a retired pastor in our association. His name is Ken Durche, and we lovingly call him the Admiral, and there's a story behind that. But everybody knows when you're talking about the Admiral, you're talking to about Ken Durche. And Ken Durche is only the third person in my whole life and the only person in the whole state of Ohio who can call me Timmy. And he does that on a regular basis, and I accept that from Ken because I know what it means for him to do that. And it speaks to our relationship, and it speaks to the feelings that we have about one another. But I want you to think for a minute how a different way of naming something is a different way of showing your expectation. And I actually have a visual aid today. And some of you who are regulars will recognize this. This is, at least by most of the people here, known as Glitter Jesus. And Glitter Jesus came into my possession. Rick Van Bremer, who's not here tonight, so I can't ask him what he was thinking when he gave it to me. Rick brought this back from one of his trips. He often brings me little religious artifacts that he gets in different places. And it's also a bank. Glitter Jesus at the bank and money comes out the bottom. Really, that's how a lot of people think about Jesus. One that you bank on and he'll give you money when you need it. I have to tell you the truth, I haven't given it much thought. At one time, we actually started thinking about hiding Glitter Jesus somewhere in the church every week to see what child might be able to find it. Well, one day, Glitter Jesus was on a shelf in my office where I put this sort of thing, and I have a whole big collection of it. I also have Moses complete with staff and Ten Commandments. Well, he was sitting in his usual spot, and I was meeting with a group that I meet with. It's a retired psychologist and a former nun who's a retired hospital chaplain. And we meet regularly for prayer and to talk about our spiritual lives. Well, Glitter Jesus had been there for quite a while. And one day, Linda, the former nun, retired hospital chaplain, looked up and said, "Oh, you have the Sacred Heart of Jesus looking over your shoulder." And I'm looking around like, "What are you talking about, Linda?" And she went over and showed me. It's hard to tell in Glitter Jesus. It shows up better in others. But then she pointed out to me that this is also the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, she and I don't always look at the world the same way, but it made me look at Glitter Jesus in an altogether different way. It also made me look at the gifts that Rick has given me, because I found out, because Linda then got to looking at all the other artifacts in my office, I also have a Sacred Heart of Jesus soap on a rope. Now, it may be a stretch to be able to get from that to be thinking about Jesus looking over your shoulder, but that's exactly what Linda was telling me, the way she looked at the world. And by renaming Glitter Jesus as the Sacred Heart, it helped me to think a little bit more about Jesus looking over my shoulder as I worked in my office. Now, Mary and Joseph faced no struggle with the naming of their child. For the angel came and told Mary before the child was ever conceived that you will name this baby Jesus, and he will be the Savior of his people. When we gather on Christmas Eve, in the name of Jesus is the reason why we're here. For Jesus means that God with us. And on Christmas Eve, through all the decorations we have, all the special singing we do, the special way we do communion, the things that we do in a unique kind of way on this night, are all reminders to us that before we ever recognized our need, that God chose to come and dwell in our midst so that we might know something about God's essential nature. Christmas is a time that God came down to share himself with us. And the question for us during this season is, will we accept the gift of his presence? Sometimes it can be as little as turning just to the side and looking at the world in a slightly different way. Sometimes it may mean renaming those people that you have the most trouble with and try to come up with an endearing name for them. And sometimes it is simply an acknowledgement that there are places in life where we simply say, "Oh God, help us now and in the hour of our need." Let us pray. Lord, as we are gathered here tonight, we've taken these few minutes away from the busyness of the season, but in these few minutes and in gathering for worship, we are back in touch with those things that matter most at the Christmas season. For until we have asked your Son's presence into our lives, we have not received your gift. We pray that as we sing the songs of Christmas, as we go to the communion table and remember that the gift of yourself had a great price in suffering for you, we've not fully appreciated the gift you offer. We ask that you would come and dwell in our midst and lift our hearts toward you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe now we are going to sing hymn number 113. Thank you.
Yeah.